Kevin Christians.
Hello there.
Oh my gosh! I was like Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's like, hello there. Guys, what's up? I am here with the man, the myth, the legend, Bradley Mullins. Say hello, Bradley.
Hello there, everybody.
And if you don't know, which means you live under a rock, Bradley Mullins is my significant otter, my significant other. He is my boyfriend, whom I love very much. And I am so excited that he's on this podcast. Yes. But yes, this is going to be a great podcast. I'm very excited about it. And basically we're going to be talking about, kind of going off of the last episode that we posted, talking about sexual purity and what that means more in a couple setting, because Bradley and I are a couple and we've had to like navigate, like, what does sexual purity mean for us? Like, how are we going to keep that in a relationship and things like that? So we have had, even though we're babies, we like literally just hit 3 months.
Yeah, but only so baby we're for like,
maybe we'll have to like remake this podcast in like a year. Yeah. And like, but we're babies. But like, I think that we have handled this issue within our relationship very maturely and just very biblically. And so,
praise God.
I thought that it'd be fun, smart, I don't know, all the things for us to do this podcast, to speak into you guys that are maybe new in relationships or for your future relationship or whatever it is. And so we're going to basically be talking about that. But I also, because Bradley is a dude, wanted to get kind of his perspective on sexual purity, because there's only a certain amount of people that two females can reach talking about sexual purity.
Doesn't
and
do
it's,
it justice.
And it's females. Yeah. So, you know, like Bradley, and he'll get into this a little bit himself, but Bradley has had like his own like experience and in his own story with the sexual temptation and things like that. And so I wanted him to speak into that, just kind of to get a male on here talking about something that I don't think is really talked about enough.
Yeah, it's not.
For males and just for everyone in general. And so with all that being said, we're just going to get started. Okay, so Bradley, you're new. People don't know you other than the people that do. Tell us about yourself. Like, how old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
Oh my gosh, you're so old.
I know. Emma's still a teenager.
I'm still a baby. Okay, so what do you do for a living? Where do you work?
I work remotely as an e-commerce strategist. And yeah, if that sounds confusing, essentially just think someone who runs Facebook and Instagram ads, yes, for companies that sell products online.
Yeah, you know, he's been trying really hard to teach me how his job works the past 3 months, and I still don't understand it.
It is not
so
working.
But it's really cool. What is your favorite food?
Cheeseburger.
What is your favorite animal?
Favorite animal? We talked about this yesterday. I don't know. I would say lion, just because they're really cool.
Lions are pretty cool.
But I haven't thought about that a lot.
Is there anything, any other fun facts that you'd like us to know?
Yeah, I like Spikeball.
Oh my gosh, he's obsessed with Spikeball! So, that is Bradley. And also, for Enneagram nerds, he's a 5-wing-4 on the Enneagram. I wasn't going to ask him that because he is still warming up to the Enneagram.
I'm not the biggest fan.
He's
I don't like being confined into a number, but that's okay.
So I'm slowly trying to help him, as well as like the coffee train, because this is called Caffeinated Christians. And so obviously I like coffee. He doesn't drink coffee. So
I don't even drink caffeine.
Yeah. So, you know, you guys can be praying for him for me and we'll go from there. So in your terms, what does sexual purity mean, and then why do you believe it is a commandment from God?
Okay. Yeah, I said this earlier, but I don't want it to be a cop out, but exactly what Emma said on the last podcast is like, it's not just abstain from it and then you're good. It's like there's a lot more mentally, emotionally, and everything in the wraps there.
And I'll pull up that definition actually right now just to like reread it.
Yeah, reread that.
Because for our, like, people who maybe didn't listen to it. So this is my definition that I found off this website called the New Life Center, and it says sexual purity includes abstaining from intercourse until marriage, but that is not all it means. Being sexually pure means not even dwelling on the thoughts of sex with somebody other than a spouse. Until you are married, sexual purity means saying no to sexual intercourse, oral sex, and even sexual touching. It means saying no to a physical relationship that causes you to be turned on sexually. It means not looking at pornography or pictures that feed sexual thoughts. So it's a little bit more in depth than I think that we like to promote it to be.
Yeah, because it's kind of lame to pull it all down to just the physical.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, like, it's just that. It's like, no, it's a whole lot more. And so, therefore, it involves a lot more of areas of your emotions, like, that being in play, or your thoughts, or your lust, or whatever. Like, that's something that needs to be under wraps, like Jesus in Sermon on the Mount. And I guess that starts answering the second question, but he's like, if you even think about it, you're like going against what God has for you. And it's like, whoa, like that's a really high expectation and we can't match it. Only God can help us there. But, it's like, yeah, if you're constantly going around thinking about it, doing stuff by yourself, with your phone in front of you, or you're doing other things, but you're not actually having it. Like, can you really call that sexual purity? No, you can't. Just hands down there. But yeah, so that's what I think it is.
So tell us your, I guess, like, testimony or story of, like, how you've dealt with sexual temptation and what that may look specifically for you.
Yeah, so I have not dealt with any sort of relational sexual temptations in the past. Definitely had a bit of a struggle with pornography, which God has thankfully set me free from, because that was horrible. So thank the Lord that he has guided me out of that. So yeah, that's something that I've had to deal with in the past. So
how did that have an effect on you?
So I want to say, let's see, mentally it was like kind of whatever, like just left you really feeling confused all the time, or just like insecure or lack of confidence. But spiritually is where it just like hit me in the face, like punched. And it's like one of those punches in the movies where you see where like someone hits you and then you like get floored.
And they just like, you get fall floored. To the ground. Yeah. They're like, boom, they're down, man.
Yeah. So, it's not that hard to fall into, and it takes away any sort of freedom you have, like where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And it's just really weird how it's like that act, or like pornography and stuff like that, just strips all of your freedom away from you. You like hardly get to choose when you get to do it, as like, you know, it's like have some self-control. It's like you're rewiring your brain to want more of it. Cause it's something that it strips away any sort of relational aspect to it, and it just goes straight to the pleasure. So it's the, what was it? I think I'll say this later in the podcast as well, but it's the accomplishment the accomplishment as the reward. So like the act itself is the reward, and that's very detrimental to your mind. But yeah, it affected me in like entrapment. Is that a word? It just trapped me. You lose all confidence you have, like absolutely nothing. You like have none of it walking around, talking to people, because you feel weird, not good. It is not good. Doesn't fulfill, because God didn't design sex to be asexual. We're still talking about pornography here. You know it won't fulfill. You do it anyways. Then the evil one goes straight to work of accusing you. Plus, you sinned against God knowing that it very well wasn't going to be worth it. And your brain is chemically training itself to want more. So it's a rabbit hole that is straight from hell. And it is just a death spiral. It's because it grows with indulgence. It's not like a...
C.S. Lewis says it, like anything to do with sex and like sexual temptation, anything like grows like with indulgence. And it's like, the more you do it, the more that you want it.
Yeah.
It's like a drug. It's like the more you do drugs, the more you want drugs. And it's the same exact thing with like any type of sexual temptation.
Absolutely.
Especially pornography.
Yeah. And it's a very difficult chain to break. Thankfully, we have direct access to the one who breaks chains. But at the same time, there has to be some sort of like God will help you and he'll give you everything, but you still have to, mm-hmm. like, go about it the right
yeah.
way.
Versus... Yeah, I feel like that we, as, like, believers, a lot of times we'll use the cop-out of, like, it's the Lord's timing for, like, anything, for literally nope. anything. And I'm like, yes, it's the Lord's timing, but also you have to get up and do it. Like, you have to do it. So, like, the Lord's timing with, like breaking from sins, like, Lord's timing with, like, certain opportunities. It's like, you also have to, like, go out and do, like, the Lord did not like, make you stagnant and yeah, make yeah, you, yeah. like, do nothing. Like, you have to actually do it. So, like, with, like, sexual temptation, like, you also have to stop doing it. Like, yes, the Lord's gonna give you freedom, but it's a two-people thing, you know?
Absolutely. Like, in Hebrews 11, whenever Sarah, by faith, I don't know exactly what line it was in Hebrews 11, but it was, like, God gave her strength to conceive seed. He didn't just give her a child. He said, here's the strength to go do it. And, like...
And then she had to go do it,
so,
y'all.
There was something that she had to do. And so... Which is, yeah.
Which relates back to the topic. Yeah. Is that going to be
kidding? I was thinking
she
about
that.
She
had to go do it. Like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so that's... Well, that's what it is. It's like, there's... God will give you the strength, and he expects you to, with that strength, go off and do exactly what he needs you to do.
Yes.
Whatever that may be. And so, yeah, it's not like, I'll just wait on the Lord. It's like, no, the Lord is... God giving you everything. He's waiting on you now to just do it. He absolutely hates it. So, ooh, I like that. Cop out for complacency.
That's the new motto. Cop out for complacency. So, now. Mm. How is it, like, now with that? Because I know that he broke you from those chains a hot minute ago. So how does it still affect you today? Like, how does it feel today? Like, where are you at with...
Absolute freedom.
Yes.
So, like, praise God that he's given me, like, a deep sense of sobriety.
Mm.
It's not, like, a... I use the word like a lot. it's not... It's great. Like, it's a... Because whenever you do it, you're going against God. And if you're a Christian, that is one of the places you don't want to be at.
Mm.
And so, if you're constantly doing it, and it's the worst part is that it's trapping.
Mm.
And so, it pulls you right back in. It's all about... Satan knows a lot about... customer lifetime value.
Mm.
And so he really tries to throw some marketing terms in there. But he really wants you coming back and back and back and just falling further and further and further away, because he doesn't want you near.
Yeah.
He does not want you near the Lord. It's something I don't even have to worry about.
Sir, you're a dude, right?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're a dude, because I'm dating you. Anyways, so sexual temptation... Like, regarding pornography, like, physicality of it, like, it's different for guys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, like, the drive is there for both.
It's completely different.
Still very different in a physical sense and a mental sense. Like, the Lord wired us both very differently, like, females and males. And so, how do you think sexual temptation differs from being a female? And then... Because you have, like, dealt with this and you've gotten out of it, how would you, I guess, advise guys to steer clear from porn, masturbation, lusting, sex, like, all the fun things that are really comfortable to talk about? like, how would you advise them to just steer clear
but
of it?
From a standpoint of guys versus girls, like you were saying at the beginning of the podcast, you and Holly and whoever can speak about it all they want, but it's from a woman's perspective,
mm-hmm.
and it's the... totally different.
Yeah.
So yeah, guys are I wrote this down. So guys are psychologically wired to be stimulated visually, just from, like, a psychological standpoint. Women are very stimulated audibly, and then mm-hmm. men are stimulated very visually, and we have eyeballs and we all see all day long.
Remember, it was like we were having a conversation with a guy that I know, and basically, like, we were talking about something, or about, like, Shakira or whatever, and then he was immediately able to recall, like, what Shakira was wearing, like, 2 years ago at the Super Bowl or whatever. Or, like,
oh, no way.
Before. Yeah. And it, like, shows that, like, guys are definitely, like, more stimulated visually than girls. Like, I
yep.
couldn't give a crap about, like, what Shakira was wearing. Or, like, even if, like, a guy was, like, shirtless, like, I could care less. But, like, that is a psychological fact.
Especially with, I don't want to sound all grandpa here talking about social media platforms, but... I mean, like, IG,
no, so
Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat. Snapchat is, it's literally an app dedicated to sending secret visuals.
Yeah.
I mean, you can send secret messages, and you can have stories that disappear in 24 hours, but, like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Like,
sometimes a little.
Think about it. And then there's, like, YouTube, and then, like, clickbait, and then there's, like, all the other platforms on the interwebs. So it's incredibly accessible, like, a couple taps on your phone, and you're there. So it's, like, it's incredibly accessible. It's really not that difficult. And we'll talk about those boundaries in a second, but, yeah, so as guys, we're susceptible to it literally all day long, everywhere we go. We ought to have lots of self-control, and at the same time, there's stuff where it's, like, just to even steer clear of it, it's, like, you just need to look at the ground, or, like, look at the sky and notice the birds and be like, wow, those are some really cool birds. And I'm really glad I'm not looking at...
This is going to be me, like, I don't know, like, boasting about Bradley here in a second. But, like, oh, no. I'm going to just say it anyways because, you know, like, when you're in the mall and there's, like, all, like, the stores and they sell, like, bras and, like, Victoria's Secret and things like that. And they have, like, those giant, like, plastered things of, like, naked women. Like, it's uncomfortable, especially, like, for both parties. And, like, one of the things that I've just loved about Bradley and how, like, the Lord has revealed, like, yes, this is the man's I've sent you, is that, like, every single time we, like, walk past, like, a store like that, or, like, even, like, in Target, like, the women's section, like, in, like, not, like, the women's clothing, but, like, the women's, like, underwear section, things like that, like, he will, like, immediately look down, like, will not even glance at it. And it's, like, that is very, like, shows that you're disciplined. And it's, like, yes, like, the Lord has done a lot, and, like, the Lord had to do a lot of spiritual healing in you, but also, you are not going to, like, use that as a cop-out for complacency, and you are actually going to discipline yourself to not look at those things. So that's just, like, even, like, those, like, little things, like, bras, like, sports bras, like, in, like, this section, like, you have to be disciplined to not look at that stuff if you're a guy, like, coming from, like, your perspective.
Sobriety.
So, that's
sobriety helps so much. Oh my goodness. Guys are very, they have a huge sex drive, and so it's, like, they can literally think their way there at any moment. And so if you have all that stuff in your mind, it's, like, you're not helping yourself
100%
at all. Guys have to be really on edge at all times, because Satan doesn't care. he's like, oh, like, you had a great day, super sober-minded, like, all this stuff. And then it's, like, oh, here's this Instagram post that you, like, spent 5 seconds on Instagram, and it's, like, here's this Instagram post, and it's, like, what, like, I don't need this in my mind, and then that can, you go to sleep, and you think about that, or whatever, and it's, like, Satan is crafty, and so, yeah.
So, like, what advice would you give dudes to steer clear?
Dudes. So, listen up here, guys. 80% of guys my age, so I think it was, like, 18 to 34, deal with it. So, I thought it was a lot lower than that. Maybe that's just me being naive, but 80% of guys deal with it. It's a big deal, and it's not something to be taken lightly, especially whenever your life and your walk with Christ is being brutally obliterated as you're doing these things. It's not something to take lightly. So, essentially, this is war. I'm just going to give you that right off the bat. Satan hates your purity. He hates creation and or procreation, and he hates you. He does not like you, and he wants to see you fall at any cost to him. Something that was interesting that I learned was spiritual discipline is not legalism. So, like, I know in the church it can be like, oh, like, any sort of thing that's legalistic or law-ish, you know, if you will, is kind of looked down upon of like, oh, don't do that. That's legalistic. But, like, setting boundaries on your phone, in your relationship, in your personal life to avoid temptations at all cost is not legalistic. You can't work your way into the kingdom, but setting parameters for yourself that provide sobriety and humility, that can place you in a position to be more receptive to God's voice, and is very Christ-exalting. And that just leads you right in the right direction. So you can't stop something by saying no to it. You have to be saying yes to something else. Okay, start off with a question. Do you even want to remain sexually pure?
That's good.
So if it's yes, figure out what the bottlenecks are of why your brain would sometimes say, no, I don't want to be. Because logically speaking, if you actually want to be, sexually pure until marriage, you will stay away from it and pursue God at all costs. Now, if it's like, Brad, well, if I'm a Christian and I'm struggling with this, does that mean I'm not, you know, Christian because I am not perfect? No, absolutely not. What I am saying is, like, there are some areas where, C.S. Lewis talked something about this, where it was like, you know, a guy may be on his knees praying to God, like, take these temptations away from me.
But his heart is really saying, no, not yet.
Yes. Okay, that's the quote. And so that is...
It's a mere Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. That's spot on with it. So it's like, examine yourself and really try to understand, like, do I want to remain sexually pure? And it can get in the trap of, like, I want to remain sexually pure for my own ambition or my own pride that I can say that I am. So that's a trap too. So be careful there. But, like, yeah, like, examine yourself pretty heavy. Like, if you're struggling with it and you keep going into it back time and time and time again, like, do you even want to stop? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so it's like, be almost ask God to get you to a point where you're like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. It's like you have to sometimes ask him to give you the want to want to.
And so, because there are spiritual chains that you have fallen into.
You absolutely cannot do it on your own.
To have tied around yourself 50,000 times and then are just tightening them every single day. And you're like, well, how do I get rid of these chains? You can't.
No, like, you cannot.
So, and that's good news. That's not a bad thing. That is great news because we have access to the one who absolutely can break those chains. And he wants to help you. He loves you. And he wants to set you free from that because it's not for him. Like that is not for him. And so he wants you to be set free from it, but he expects some sort of, like, he's given you a will. He's given you, like, action that you can take. Now, you can't solve it yourself, but if he gives you the strength to solve it and you still plunder it, that's something else too. So you got to be really careful about that. Yeah, you got to go from not saying no to it and just, like, sitting there and being like, oh man, like, I really shouldn't, like, that's not helpful. It doesn't get you anywhere. If anything, it just makes you anxious, makes you tired. You get exhausted saying no because it takes actual effort to say no.
You have to say yes, and you also just have to say yes to something different. You have to, like, be like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do, like, this thing that will help me. Or instead of, like, looking at my phone for 20 minutes before bed, I'm going to actually read my Bible before bed and put my phone away. Like, you have to be, like, saying yes to something completely different. Because if you're just saying no, but you're not filling, like, the space or the time where it's like, no, I won't, like, have sex with my significant other, we're going to go out and, like, go into a public place and, like, go to the park, or we're gonna go to dinner or something like that. We're gonna do this instead of being on the couch alone at midnight in our house. Like, you're gonna do something completely different.
Was it John Piper said something fantastic? He said, has anything good ever come from being alone with your significant other before marriage in their apartment at 1 a.m. laying down on the couch together watching Netflix? No. Like, whenever Joseph was not wanting to lay down with Potiphar's wife, this beautiful woman literally was like, have sex with me. And he was like, no, like, no. And then she, like, strips him down and she's like, I'm right here. Joseph runs. He flees. He's like, I'm out of there. Like, that is not, like, that is something that would be incredibly tempting on that level. Like, that's insane. And so, what he was doing running out there wasn't saying no to her. He was saying yes to God. So that's something that it wasn't legalistic of him to do that. He was doing it so he could glorify God.
Yeah.
Just asking the Lord to set your heart posture right so that, because your actions follow from your intentions and your motives and what it is that you value. And so if you value glorifying God over this current, you know, pleasure that's right in front of you, that leads to different actions than, you know, I trust God, but this also looks great too. So just a thought there. Satan really tries to get you to think you're the only one struggling with it. So 80% from a guy's perspective, 80% of guys struggle with this. So it's just pure ignorance to think that no other dude or guy, and guys don't talk about it. It's not talked about. I mean, that's great if you have a group of friends that do talk about and hold each other accountable, like, that's phenomenal. But for a lot of people, that is not the case at all. And Satan will try to isolate. And he'll try to make you think that you're the only one dealing with it. You're the only one that's, like, the scriptures. It's, like, bring stuff out into the light. Mm. And that's very, very uncomfortable. From a guy's perspective, typically, guys don't like showing vulnerability. Mm. And that's not a good or bad thing. But just, that's typically how it is. And so, being able to bring that out there into the light. Make sure you've, I think, Holly said this in one of the other podcasts, but it was, like, making sure you're telling the right people, not just telling people.
100%.
100%. Yeah, making sure you're not just randomly telling people, because that might actually make it a little bit worse. Yeah, like, he wants to make you think that nobody understands or is going through what you're going through, and that, you know, like, he's just accusing you of, like, wow, like, that's so gross, like, you call yourself a Christian. So, coolest thing about it is that Jesus understands. There has not been one temptation that he has not gone through, that he didn't overcome them all. But in Matthew, when Jesus is being tempted, Satan takes him up to the high mountains and offers him everything, because Satan has dominion and rule over the earth. And essentially he offers Jesus, and Jesus is, mind this, Jesus has had no food, or did he have water? I feel like he had water, but he didn't eat anything for 40 days.
Fasting.
40 days.
It's Matthew 4.
That is very difficult to do. Not a lot of people can or have done that. And so Jesus is incredibly vulnerable, and he's out in the middle of the wilderness. He's probably around nobody. He's probably around no other friends, no one to keep him accountable. And Satan himself is there holding him up on the top of a mountaintop and is saying, I'll give you everything. I think I said this earlier, but Satan was trying to make the accomplishment, the reward in and of itself. and Jesus overcame that altogether.
Yeah.
So we don't worship a God who remains distant from our temptations and our struggles, but he himself has come down and become part of it.
Yeah.
Like, asking for him to help you to change. He has already gone through that and been on the other side of overcoming it.
Yeah.
And so we have direct access to his power via the way of the Holy Spirit.
100%.
And so,
yeah. And he desires, like, you to bring into the light the things that you've maybe been dealing with. Like, maybe you and your significant other have been having sex, or, like, you've been doing pornography, or you, like, whatever it looks like for you. Like, he desires you to bring it into the light and to talk to him about it, because the Lord wants that from you. And, like, you know, like, stories I have heard of, like, couples who have gotten saved, like, after, like, having sex, like, it's never too late to, like, allow the Lord to give you grace and wash away, like, your sin, and then, like, start over, like, even, like, with your significant other.
You can always lose your virginity, you can lose your virginity, but you can always regain your purity.
100%. So, just know that, like, he wants to forgive you for that, and he wants to give you grace, and so you don't have to be stuck in this loophole of shame, because that's not from Jesus. So, transitioning a little bit, we are going to talk about sexual purity as a couple. So, the first question, do we believe that we should abstain from sex until marriage?
Yes.
Obviously. I wrote down, because we have, like, a little note, so I was like, obviously, yes, but I think this would be a really great place for us to start. Wanting to abstain from sex until marriage is not just a physical thing. I feel like that, like, I want, like, that message to be displayed across, because, like, yes, like, Bradley and I could not have sex while we're dating, but if we both mentally were in the mindset of, oh my gosh, I want to have sex, like, always, we are, like, tainting our sexual purity mentally
at any given point, because, like, what is it, your actions follow from your, like, what you value, what you're thinking about, like, what consumes your mind, your, like, whether you like it or not, your actions follow suit from
absolutely
there. And so if you guys are both, like, dating, you're like, no, we'll remain sexually pure, and you guys both really want to have that with each other, can only imagine
it's
what the final outcome
really
would be.
Hard to, yeah, it's gonna be really hard to find.
And or you're just gonna have a horrible time, because then you're gonna be dating, and the whole time you're going to be like, oh wow, like, I really, like, you're just gonna,
you're essentially dating to have sex, you're not dating to really get married.
Well, there's that, but it's also like, if you're constantly in a posture of like, oh, like, we have to wait, you just have a horrible time. But if it's like, we get to wait, and we get to glorify God in this waiting, that's something that's a higher
Yeah.
What is it? That's put on a higher pedestal than we can have it right now. But, like, I mean, you can listen to thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people's stories where, like, they didn't wait. And that was, like, really horrible, and it affected their marriages, or even the marriage with that person that they eventually went into, or the marriage that, you know, maybe they broke up with that person, yeah. That emotional drag that destroyed yeah. them. And so it's, like, yeah, like, don't go about it. And we are amateurs here. We've yeah, only been dating babies. For 3 months.
But we're babies, but we both have, I think, been taught really well just, like, how to navigate this. And so it's not just a... And I think that, like, also, like, both of us, like, we have experience with sexual temptation. Like, him, like, more so asexually. I, like, have not had sex before, but I have struggled with sexual temptation with somebody. And it was definitely the mindset of, oh, my gosh, I'm just ready to, like, do it. Like, I'm ready to just, like, get there. And it was really tormenting. And it was really, like, embarrassing and really, like, it made me feel really insecure and just so guilty and it was awful. And so it's, like, we both are coming from, like, experience. And so... Well, we have tried really hard to, like, from the very beginning of our relationship, even, like, a few weeks before we started dating, like, talking about how we don't, like, this is not to say we have to wait, we get to wait. Like, this is, like, mm-hmm. beautiful because we know that, like, us, like, waiting to have sex until, like, we're married is glorifying the Lord. Like, it is, it. We know that it is, like, making him pleased and it is making him happy. And we know that, like, us waiting. Yes. And we know that us waiting, like, it's safer for us. It's safer for our relationship. Like, it is exciting and it is beautiful and it is God glorifying. And so when your heart is postured towards purity and when you're fixated more on, like, this excitement of purity, because it is exciting and it's beautiful and it's just this lovely thing that I just think it's gorgeous how the Lord has designed sex and like marriage and all that fun stuff. Like, it's so much easier to combat temptations. It's so much easier to combat the desires of the flesh. And I think that's like really bringing in the point that Bradley made earlier, like, examine yourself. Like, if your heart's not there, the Lord can get it there. You just have to ask him to make you want him to get there. Yeah. And once you're there, you will find that it is easier to combat the temptations. Not that they're not there. Don't hear that. Like, not that they're not there. But it's when you are so fixated on the beauty of purity and how, like, just wonderful it is, you can combat the temptations and desires and things in the flesh a lot easier. Yeah. Especially when you're in a relationship with a significant other.
Yeah. You're not. I keep going back to this point, but it's so valuable. It's like, you're not saying no to not having sex, or to having it. You're saying yes to glorifying God. And
yes.
That's put on a higher pedestal.
Yes.
And so that in your actions follow suit from that.
Yeah.
If that's actually where your heart is at.
Absolutely.
So we say heart posture, not a mind posture. It's a heart posture.
So. Yeah, 100%. And so it is a beautiful thing. And like, yes, like, sex, great, like, good, like, again, kind of like the last podcast, like, Bradley and I are not trying to say that, like, sex is bad.
God made it.
That was sex.
That was one of his first commandments. Literally. In the Bible. He was like, it's like, fill, be fruitful, and multiply the earth.
Yes.
God, that was his, like, was that his first command to them?
So, I don't know.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
Adam and himself with the animals, so maybe together as a couple, like,
okay, yeah, but, like, that was one of God's, in creation, one of his first commandments, was, like, I think I heard a pastor say, he's like, just have lots of sex. And so it's like, in the confines of where God has it, that is great. And that's beautiful. But yeah, you don't want to take that outside of where God has it.
It is beautiful in the way the Lord made it. It is not beautiful outside of that.
Yeah, Tim Mackey, Bible Project.
Love him.
Good stuff. He has a video about, I think it's called like Jesus and Sexual Desire or something like that. But he just walks through the Sermon on the Mount. But he had a candle, and I don't even think he was trying to do this for the sermon he was preaching. I think it was just on stage. And it was like a little candle, and he's like, so the fire in here is great. Like, it's in its confined space where it should be, and it looks beautiful, and it's, you know, it's nice. It provides a little bit of light. Maybe if you're at a desk or whatever, it's bright, and it's brightening up your paper that you're writing or whatever. And so he's like, this is great. This is a very, very good thing. It's very beautiful. And all this stuff. But he said, if I take this candle and I extract the fire and I put it onto the wooden like desk that's right in front of me and it starts to burn it and it burns down the entire place, it's in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's a necessarily good or bad thing, but that it's it's not in the place where it's supposed to, and that causes such crazy amounts of damage.
Yes. So, this is, I feel like, a question, like a topic that's talked about, like, in couples, and I feel like a lot of times, like, and this is not, never mind, I'm gonna continue. A lot of times people want, like, okay, how far is too far? Like, what are your boundaries? Mm. Like, what can I write down? And it's like, those are important, but Bradley and I do not want to give you a, okay, this is how to abstain from sex to the to-do list, or, yeah, like, task list. Like, no, like, again, it is also a mental, but boundaries have to coincide with the mental, and that will kind of go with this next point, is we brought the idea of saving sex until marriage before we started dating. Like, we talked about it, yeah, like, before we started dating. It's, like, the day after, like, he told me he liked me, blah, blah, we'll do, like, a whole, like, podcast on a relationship someday. But, like, the day after he told me he liked me, like, kind of got together, and we just, like, talked about, like, okay, like, what, like, if we were going to get into a relationship, like, what would it look like, and, like, what are some expectations that we have, and, like, what do we want it to look like, and literally, like, both of us, like, are, like, very intentional with wanting to remain pure, and so we're married, and wrote down our specific boundaries. Like, we are so, like, nerdy. So, we're so nerdy. Like, we're the nerdiest couple. But, like,
two dorks.
We wrote down, like, we have this Google spreadsheet, or, like, this Google, like, doc or whatever, with just, like, why we're dating. Like, boundaries that we have, like, emotionally. Like, not even just, like, physical, but, like, okay, like, here are some things that we, like, want to do, and, like, we need to be careful of. Like, because emotional, like, stress, like, in relationships can happen, and we don't want that. And so, we wrote all that stuff down. We also wrote down, like, very hard line boundaries.
Yes.
Like, physical boundaries. Like, yes. And I think it's so incredibly important to have, like, really firm lines on boundaries, because if you don't, you're like, okay, we're not gonna, like, kiss
You're unclear. You have no, yes, idea. There's no clarity.
And you can bend those rules and you can bend those boundaries a lot easier, yeah, and read between the lines more. And so, like, we had to make, at the very beginning, before, like, we had even, like, kissed or, like, anything, like, make those boundaries, like, we're not gonna be, like, doing anything, like, we're not gonna be, like, alone together in a house, like, we're not gonna be, like, anywhere but the closed door. Like, we, like, wrote down, like, what we thought was, like, the good boundaries for, mm-hmm, us, and, like, we have gone back, and, like, sometimes you have to make adjustments to those, because, like, the more that you fall in love with that person, the more that, like, your, like, physical desire to be near them increases. Like, yes, spiritual intimacy and physical, like, those things kind of, like, want to grow at the same time. The physical intimacy has to, like, chill until, like marriage. But, like, the more that you become, like, emotionally, like, invest in this person, like, the more that you're gonna want, like, your body to kind of follow that. And so, mm-hmm, it's, like, he and I have had to go on back to the drawing board and be like, okay, like, let's, like, just in case, like, we don't want, like, these new temptations to, like, arise, like, we, like, don't want these certain things to happen. And so, like, I guess, like, my recommendation for, like, if you are in a relationship, or you're gonna get into a relationship, like, make those hard lines, and don't be afraid to go add more. Like, the more precautions, the better.
Add more.
Literally. Like, the more precaution, the better. And so, it's so important to, like, write down or tell an accountability partner or whatever these boundaries, because you won't be able to bend them, and if, like, you break it, you're breaking the boundary. Like, that's just the fact.
Yeah, because, I mean, from a guy's perspective, I mean, I think it's from both perspective, honestly. Like, if you guys have, I'm not saying you have to write it down, I mean, I'd recommend it, but, like, if you write it down and then one of you specifically crosses that barrier and the other one's like, hey, like, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
You can literally, you have something written down.
Yes.
That you guys both can look to. And then it's completely validated that, absolutely, there's some sort of, like, hey, you need to go check yourself. Like,
yeah, seriously.
You need to go check yourself.
I mean, there's that's accountability sense. And, like, that's why it's so important to make sure that, like, from the beginning, that you and your significant other are on the same page with this. Because if not, it can really cause some tricky things in your relationship. Because if one of you is, like, really, like, honed in on, like, being sexually pure and the other is not, then, like, that's going to be a really hard balance,
yeah,
in and throughout the relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, obviously, like, we kind of did things backwards in our relationship. Like, it was just, like, the way that we started dating is crazy. And, like, we'll get into that another time.
That would be in a further podcast.
But, like, make sure, like, you write down or you speak those into existence or you have a third, like, party there to, like, discuss. As awkward as these conversations may be, it is so much better to have them than to sweep it under the rug and pretend it didn't happen or it doesn't exist.
Yeah, if you are freaked out or scared to have these conversations with your significant other and you're like, I feel like a punk when I do that or whatever, it's, mm-hmm, like, all right, well, you're running the risk at any given point to not even not cross the boundary because you felt like a punk that you didn't even want to set any. Mm. And not only are you doing that, but you're hurting or potentially could be going against the way that the Lord had brought your guys' relationship together. And hurting you together.
And your significant other.
Yeah, and so it... my stomach just growled a little.
Oh, yeah. It's late. I'm hungry, too.
But, yeah. Like, like, just setting those... Like, did you... Okay. I guess some people may be like, what boundaries... Like, did you have any other examples of, like, maybe generalized boundaries that are... Because everything's dynamic. It will be to your specific... it will be to your specific relationship, the boundaries you guys have. Because all relationships are different. So... just these are generalized ones that help.
Yeah, literally, like, looking at our sheet, like, we're not going to be behind closed doors alone anywhere
at all,
like, anywhere at all, like, never. Like, if like we're in, like, Bradley's room, like, one, we're not sitting on the bed and we're not, like, getting on the bed, we are, like, there with the door wide open, like,
lights on,
like, lights on, like, we are, like, having a conversation, he's showing me something, and we, like, really don't even, like, go into our rooms for, like, a long period of time. It's, like, the longest time I think we were in my room is to build Lego set, and, like, that is, like, a huge deal, and, like, that is, like, one of ours, and then, like, we don't ever want to be, like, in a building or in, like, at Bradley's house or at my house alone. Yeah. Like, ever. And it's, like, we, like, that temptation, like, no matter when, like, that temptation will arise for us, and we don't even want to, like, even have to deal with it.
And it's, like, oh, like, that's so weird. Like, you guys won't even go, like, see each other. Yep. We will not.
Yep. Yeah, we will refrain from, like, seeing each other if, like, whatever. Or we will literally just, like, go sit outside somewhere. Or we'll, like, go to a restaurant. Like, we, like... unless, like, his parents are home or, like, some people in my family are home, like, we do not go over to each other's houses. And, like, sometimes it can be a real inconvenience because I remember, like, one time, like, I was over at your house and, like, his dad, like, wanted to go talk to a buddy and things like that. And so, like, we sat outside in the cold, like, well, his dad did that because we did not even want to have to deal with the temptation. And, like, maybe it looks like an inconvenience in the time, but, like, it will save you so much hurt and it'll save you just even more uncomfortable, like, moments of that temptation arising. Cause we're very much like, no, like, not even going to touch.
Like, we won't see each other that day because we can't do anything. We can't go out in public or like our parents won't be home or nobody will be home. It's like, well, okay. Like, I'd rather, because I love Emma so much, like, boundaries are just a good safeguard, and the stricter you can set those, not in, like, a fundamentalist, legalistic way, but it's, like, if you can avoid those situations where, at the end of whenever Jesus was being tempted in the desert, it says in, I think it's in Matthew, it says, or either that or Luke, but, or one of the four Gospels, it says Satan left him until an opportune time. Mm. It didn't say Satan just left him and left him alone forever. It's like he left him until an opportune time. So if you're giving the opposer opportune times, leverage to, like,
he's going to use it.
He's not dumb. He knows the Gospels. Satan knows the scripture better than we do, and he absolutely hates it. Mm. Like, think about that. Like, he knows every loophole. That, well, there's no loopholes, but he can convince you there are some, and he knows the ins and outs better than you do, better than the best theologian in the world does.
Yeah.
He knows it through and through, and so he's going to do everything he can at any point that you're like, well, you know, this is biblical what we're doing. It's like he can go straight through that.
Boundaries are important, and they look very different for everybody, and so, like, if you and your significant other are going to be okay, like, and that's not a sexual temptation for you, like, to be at a house alone, like, during the day, then, like, again, like, it is different for every couple, but that is just, like, what we have said personally. So, the final question that we'll kind of, like, touch on is, how do we navigate moments where temptation arises? Because they do!
Yep.
They come up! Like, they do! Like, literally, like, every person, like, it will come up for you. It will. And so, communication is key. Ooh, yeah. Communication is the keyest of keys. You have to be open and honest of where you are at with your significant other. Not in a way of, like, okay, I'm feeling very sexually tempted and I want, like, to get there with my partner, so I'm going to talk about it a lot. No. More of, like, I want to be honest of where I'm at so that we can set harder boundaries during these times, like, while I'm extra being sexually tempted. And so... you have to be very honest and communicate, and making harder boundaries for those moments so you can keep each other sober-minded and accountable. And if you're not honest and like there's not an accountability partner there to like help you through that.
Yeah.
And you're just going to let it happen. And that's just, it's really, really sad. And so you have to have those awkward conversations with your partner, and you have to be like, hey, I'm feeling a little bit more tempted than normal today. Let's set these certain boundaries for the next few days while I like move past. And then like, if you feel like you can remove those boundaries, you remove those boundaries.
Yeah.
But you have to be honest with them, because if you're not, then
not clarity.
Yeah.
If you clarity is key. So if you guys are both unsure about where you're at with it, and then you don't know, that can lead to a lot of confusion, yeah, a lot of random expectations being set that the other person may not even have been clear on. Yeah, like, just communicate. Like, if, like, so you guys are on the same page. Like, I think people say that a lot. It's like, oh, you know, like, we gotta be on the same page about it. It's like, yes, be on the same page of the book, on the in the same sentence, on the same word, in the same, on the same letter. Like, be,
yeah,
right there. Don't be like, oh, I thought you were talking about, no, don't do that clear. Crap. And also something I would say that is, again, this is so easy to come off legalistic, but it's like, having boundaries when you're talking about this stuff too. So if you're talking with your significant other at home alone with them at night, and you're like, hey, so like, I've been feeling this towards you, and then the other person can come right around and be like, oh, well, I have too. That puts you in a worse spot.
Yeah.
So set the spot.
You have to make sure that like you're in a good spot. And yeah, you can't be doing it then. You have to have like good times.
Go to a coffee shop. Go get breakfast. Because, like, obviously, make sure you're not, like, blurting it out and, like, having other people around you super uncomfortable.
It's important.
But doing it in public or not, yeah, where you guys are both literally confessing that you guys want to have that with each other in a private, secluded spot. It's like, that's not good.
Yeah,
after.
Seriously. And it's really difficult. It really is. But when you bring these like thoughts and like feelings like into the light, and you bring like, and you like acknowledge like, yes, like this is a desire I have within me, and like, and you know, like there's a difference between like desiring sex and then like letting that like take over your soul,
because
it's like sex is great, like when I'm married it's gonna be awesome, but like I'm not letting that like completely like cripple me to where I'm like, that's all I can think about. And so bringing these things into the light with your significant other, with like close family and friends,
to the Lord,
especially to the Lord, is important, because once you bring it into the light, darkness cannot hurt it.
Darkness
can't get
it.
And Satan, a lot of times, like especially with sexual things, like he tries to like skew it to like be this really distorted, like sexual, like dirty, like kind of viewpoint. And Holly and I talked about that in the last podcast. But when he brings the light, you're like, yeah, I have these desires, and like Satan can't touch me like right now, because I am making strides to not let those overtake my soul.
Yeah, God made it. Satan didn't make it. I don't know. Some people have that lie.
Seriously,
that Satan
did
sex,
not. He distorted it, but he did not create it.
Yeah, and so it's like naturally in all of us, that's a big desire.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you can't be like, no, like, I don't ever. It's like, yeah, you're lying.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, and like, get it out into the light. And then from there,
100%.
Keep it undistorted from the evil one by going,
yes,
to the Lord about it, versus just like suppressing those feelings or those thoughts or those,
yes,
emotions. And then out at an opportune time, out of nowhere, there's like an overflux of emotion, and that,
yeah,
just sparks, and that goes off, and that,
yes,
that goes right way off the rails real quick. Yeah. So don't suppress that. Like with like, I think with like anger, it's like if you suppress,
yeah,
that over and over and over, it will just come out all of a sudden.
Yes.
And you have no control of that, because it's like you've just been filling it up, and then it's like, boom, it's gonna burst. So
literally, yep,
it's the same principle that applies.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't hide that or try and make it unknown to your significant other, but be like, hey, this is something I really struggle with, because if they love you, they'll help you.
They will help you and keep you accountable.
And if they're in the relationship just for your body, that will come out then too. And if they're,
yeah,
like, well, you know, it's not that bad of a thing, it's like, you can really tell as soon as you bring something out into the light, what the motives are, what the intentions are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just clarity is key.
Yeah.
Communication,
yes,
clarity, and validate.
And that's why those boundaries are so, like, the boundaries are so good. And also, like, physicality in relationships are, it's not bad. Like, if it's, like, not sexual, if it's not, like, going past the commitments the Lord has given us, and if it doesn't go past the boundaries that you have set, that's not evil. Like, I kiss Bradley. Big, like, yes. Like, and I hug him, and I hold his hand. And I love all, like, the little things like that, because it's sweet, and it's beautiful. And so, literally, physicality is not bad. But knowing that things can escalate further is where self-control has to come in, and boundaries have to come in, and communication has to come in. And so I don't want you to hear that Bradley and I are like, oh, like, anything physical is bad. Like, you can't even, like,
touch elbows
with your partner. No, like, physicality is beautiful, and, like, it is wonderful. And so, again, every boundary, like, maybe, like, you are the type of person that you're like, can't kiss them until my wedding day. That's great. Like, good for you. Like, that is a boundary that you have to set, and that is okay. And so, like, physicality, not bad if it crosses your boundaries, if it crosses sexual lines, and if it bleeds into your sexual purity, that's a problem. And then finally, know your partner's specific triggers and limits. This is where communication comes in, but this is an example I thought of, and it's gonna sound really gross, and I don't care. Like, if I know, like, Bradley's past, like, with pornography, and although, like, the Lord has set him free, like, I know that, like, the enemy is gonna try, like, is still going to try to use
tactics. He'll always bring up what was you previously struggled with, because that's what works best for you.
Yes, because he knows. And so, if I know that, like, that is, like, something he struggled with, like, years ago and things like that, and if I know wearing, like, really immodest clothes or, like, a skimpy bikini or, like, whatever is going to be a stumbling block for Bradley, because I love him, I'm not going to wear those things around him or, like, in general. Like, you know, modesty is a whole other, like, topic, and like, wait, I can get into that, like, later in another podcast. But, like, especially my ladies, like, there's a lot of really provocative clothing out. And, like, a lot of times, like, ladies are like, well, like, guys, I shouldn't be looking. And, like, yes, that's a whole, like, part of it. And, like,
yeah, that's Jesus, a whole different...
Jesus talks about it. But also, like, we're not supposed to be stumbling blocks either. Like, get a grip. Like, literally, like, get a grip. Like, we are not called to be stumbling blocks for, like, for the men that are in our lives. And if I specifically know that that is a stumbling block for Bradley, and that can, like, be, like, used by the enemy for, like, temptation, because I love him, I'm not even going to try to be a stumbling block for him. Like, you have to know your partner's, like, limits. And it's, if it's, like, for you, if it's something very different for your partner, and it's, like, something more physical, like, don't go there with him. Like, don't, like, get there if you know that's going to be, like, a huge temptation. Or, like, if it's, like, being out late somewhere or something, that if that's a huge thing for your partner, like, don't be a stumbling block. Like, humble yourself enough and serve them, right? Like, serve them and love them more than, like, the things that you think are right, mm-hmm. or, like, the things that you want to do. Like, love them more than that and put them first. And, like, don't cross those limits.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will save you, and it will save your partner.
Yeah. I heard a great sermon from Derek Prince. You guys should go look up Derek Prince. But he basically said, like, a lot of relationships have got it wrong, where it's like, what can I get out of this? But mm-hmm. it should be in the posture of, yeah. how can, like, what can I give? What can I serve
yes.
with? And so it's like, if you know that that's, if they, your significant other has had a past with alcohol or whatever, and you, every time they're over, you know, they don't drink, but you always have a beer, and then, like, late at night, it's like, oh, do you want one? Like, you're not helping them.
No, it's being a cement block, and, like, Paul talks about that in the Corinthians, I forget which one, but, like, we're not called to be cement blocks for anybody, and especially your significant other, and especially with a topic as heavy as this. And so, like, to my ladies, like, yes, like, guys, like, need to get a grip on, like, what they're looking at, and guys need to get a grip on their minds, and, yes. like, things that, like, Jesus even talks about, like, they need to gouge their eyes out, like, not literally, but you know what I mean? But also, ladies, like, we're not meant to be stumbling blocks either. And it's, like, if you go out and, like, you're, like, with your boyfriend or, like, whatever, or, like, even, like, brothers or cousins or, like, friends that are guys, like, that you know have a history with pornography or have a history of sexual temptation, like, girl, like, you need to be serving them more than, like, what you decide to wear. And so, like, know your partner's triggers and know their limits, and communication is key, because sexual purity is beautiful in relationships, and, like, Bradley and I don't want to sound like the legalistic grandparents that are like, don't touch your second grandmother. It's like, I love holding his hand. I'm like, I love like touching his face. Like, I love the beautiful, like, physical intimacy that he and I have created that's not sexual whatsoever. And that is not crossing the lines the Lord has like commanded us as a couple. It is beautiful, and I love it. And so know that, like, when you find that, like, good place that's not crossing boundaries, that's not crossing, like, the lines, like, the Lord is like, hey, uh-uh. And, like, your heart posture towards sexual purity, it is beautiful, and it makes your relationship just so much better. It really
it's great because you guys don't have any sort of, like, oh, like, what are they thinking? Or, like, what's, like, a...
No, you always know.
Is there any, like, expectation of, like, oh, like, that was a fun night? Like, is there going to be some really strange expectation here at the end? Like, nope. Mm. Nope. Yep. It's just like you guys are both on, again, the same page and on the same part of the page, on the same letter of that page,
and the Lord delights in it,
and there's absolute freedom in that because
you don't and it makes your relationship just like, I feel like the relationships that can get like that are like when you're like hiding in that sin, like you feel more secretive, like you feel more guilty, and it's like we don't have to do that like, we don't have to be like that, like, with our families or with our friends. Like, we don't have to be secretive in that way because we know what we have set in place. We know that we don't ever get near those lines, and we are very content where we are at. Like, it's okay to look forward to, like, sex and things like that with your significant other, but when you, like, let that consume you and you let that be the focus of everything that you do with them, that's where it becomes a huge problem.
Yeah, don't set that up higher in your heart than God because, like, as soon as that happens... That's where it's like that takes over and that starts consuming your thoughts, consumes everything that you do. And then from there, what your mind is being set on, what your heart is set on, your actions follow suit from that.
So with your significant other, your significant otter, communicate, know the limits, set boundaries, communicate.
God, the only reason he'll have two people dating is that if he gets more glory out of them being together than them being separate.
Yeah.
And so... if that's the purpose, that should be the primary focus of the relationship into not the next 5 months, 5 years, 50 years, till death do you part.
Yeah.
So it's not like we'll have fun for a couple years and then we'll see what goes. It's like, no, like, what are you in it for?
Yeah.
And examine yourself on that.
And it'll make your wedding night all the more eventful. Literally, it will. So purity's beautiful. In conclusion, purity is beautiful, and it is a great thing. So, do it! And if, like, you've already lost...
No, don't do it!
No! Shut up!
Don't do it! Don't do it!
Don't do it, but, like, do purity, right?
Yes.
And if, like, you and, like, your significant other have, like, already had sex, it's never too late to start over! It's not! God's grace is beautiful. So, this is, like, so long. So... Bradley and I would love to do another podcast on relationships and things like that. And so if you have any questions, feel free to message each one of us on Instagram or message the Caffeinated Christians Instagram at Caffeinated Christians Podcast on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Plug by plug. But all that being said, I'm Emma.
I'm Bradley.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop. Yeah.